bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbille. And now, today's word.
Great things happen sometimes when you are not expecting them to happen. It's called serendipity. We serve a God who is able to do far more than you can ask or think about. Third example. And there are so many examples in the Bible. But the third example is finding new life. Finding new life. The woman at the well, John chapter 4, verse 5 to 10. Here is a woman whose life is a question mark. By her own account, she's married 5 times. Now, I don't know about you, but that is quite a story. She's married 5 times unsuccessfully. Now, can you imagine the stories that will go about you when you've married 5 times unsuccessfully? People are going to call you things. They're going to call you a witch. They're going to call you a prostitute. They're going to call you all kinds of tiger and all kinds of things. Now she's with the 6th and she hasn't married him yet, but probably hoping to marry. And one day she's going to fetch water. She's not looking for anything but water. And something unusual happens to her. John chapter 4 verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the 6th hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And eventually the woman became a great witness of Jesus Christ. She converted her whole community. Somebody with a dubious reputation, whose word nobody believes. Probably she is called the witch of the family. Many Bible scholars believe that the reason she went to fetch water at that time was because she couldn't join the other women to go and fetch water. Normally they go to fetch water in the morning, but this is afternoon. And she's going to fetch water alone. In those circumstances or at that time, women fetch water together. And when they're fetching water, normally they'll be talking, discussing events of the village. People call that gossip, but it's general discussion. And I'm sure as they go to fetch water, her story would be the number one story. Have you heard what happened? Hey, she's now with the number 6. So she was so defamed, she wouldn't go to fetch water with the rest of the women. She would just go and fetch all by herself at the well. And so she gets up one morning. She's not planning to be used by God. She doesn't even think God can use her. Men have used her, but God has never used her. Her name has been destroyed. Her reputation is ruined. Nobody believes anything she says. She's a woman of a dubious and a doubtful persuasion. She has nothing good to offer. Nobody gives her a chance. This woman to be used by God? No way. Can God use that? No way. I'm sure if you did a census or an opinion poll of the village to find out whether God could ever use this woman, they'll tell you never, 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 not in this life nor in the life to come. Never to be used by God. So she gets up. She's running away from the rest of the women. She's going to fetch her water, get back home secretly, and use her water. And she gets out there, and the man is sitting there. And any woman who has married 5 times probably thinks all men are problems. These are the ones who marry you and leave. These are the ones who marry you and leave. These men, don't trust them. And she goes. And there's this man sitting by there. And the man says, woman, give me water to drink. And I'm sure in the mind of this woman, she thinks Jesus is giving her a line. She's used to men give her a line. I like your hairstyle. I like your hairdo. Hey, baby. I like your kebab. What's up, man? What's up, lady? Hey, girl. So she thinks Jesus is another one trying to give her a line. She says, I have 5 experiences already. The 6th one is not even working. Don't be number 7. So Jesus says, give me water. And she thinks Jesus is giving her a line. And she wants to get rid of this man quickly and get her water. He says, hey, don't bring yourself. I'm a Samaritan. You are a Jew. This thing won't work. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going to marry a Jew. She says, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans, which is not really true, but she said it just to put him off. And Jesus says, well, if you knew the one talking to you, you'd have asked and he would have given you living water. And you would not come here again to fetch water. She said, okay. Where is your bucket? Jesus says, well, I have water. When I give you that water, it will well up inside you and you will not drink again. She says, okay. Now she's getting interested. And as she gets interested, Jesus asks her a question that probably should have sent her running away. Go and call your husband. Jesus wants to tell her first, I'm not after you. This is not a line. I don't care whether you're married or not. This is more than a marriage proposal. Go bring your husband. And she could have insulted Jesus and left. But she says, well, I have no husband. That is shorthand for I've had many and none is available now. But summary, no husband. Jesus says, well, you told the truth because you've had 5 so far and you are with number 6. And you're not sure whether it's number 6 you're going to marry him or not. The man says, how do you know? We worship in this mountain and you say that we're not supposed to worship in that mountain. Jesus had not said that. Jesus said to her, woman, the time is coming and now is when a true worshiper shall worship God in spirit and in truth. And then he begins to reveal himself. The woman says, I know that when the Messiah comes, everything is going to be okay. We'll find God. And Jesus says, the one who is talking to you right now, I'm he. Can you imagine? She went to look for water in the morning and found the Messiah. That's not what she was looking for. This is not what she was praying for. She was going to live her whole life as it has been. And she goes out there and she meets this man. She thinks the man is putting a line on her. And all of a sudden she discovers this man is the long-awaited Messiah. She puts her bucket and barrel down, runs to the village and says, come and see a man. That means I've had men and I know who a true man is. Come and see a man. Oh, you boys, come and see a real man. Now, she was a very persuasive witness because she's had experience with men. So when she says, come and see a man, there has to be something unusual about this man. Says, this man has told me everything about my life. And the people come. Can you imagine a woman that nobody would have trusted and believed in, who was maligned, who was not believed, all of a sudden becomes an influencer of society? She gets the whole village to follow her. They go to see Jesus. Jesus preaches the gospel. And now they say, we believe in Jesus, not just because of what the woman said, but because we've heard him for ourselves. This woman, no reputation, found Jesus. And she was not even looking for him. God is able to make us find things in places we were not looking for. There are many people who have been born again, not looking for Christ. Some were looking for husband, so they went to church. And then they found Christ. Some were looking for girls. I hear these days the men say the best place to find the good girls are in the church. So they come to church to look for girl, and they found a man. And his name is Jesus. You find him in places you had not planned to find him. And this woman's testimony changed a whole village, a whole town, and brought them to Christ. God is able to use the unusable, the discarded, the distorted, the abused. He's able to do that. But the interesting thing is that sometimes when you are not looking for him, then you find him. It's not everything you're praying for that you will get. But there are things you're going to get that are far greater and better than the things you were praying for. There are miracles God will do for you this year that is more than any prayer point you ever pray about. And it wasn't because you said, well, if I pray this way, that will happen. If I go this place, that will happen. If somebody lays hands on me, this will happen. Yes, those things happen. But sometimes when you have given up all hope or you have no expectation, all of a sudden a miracle hits you. Boom! Where did it come from? Serendipity is God making you find something you were not looking for. I pray you will have such experiences with God. So what do we have to do when those things happen? Go with me to Psalm 37, verse 23 to 25, and Romans 8, 28. Psalm 37, 23 to 25 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." The steps of a good man, and by extension a good woman, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him by his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children or descendants begging bread. A good man's steps, a righteous person's steps, are ordered by the Lord. And because he orders your steps, you will not be forsaken, and your descendants will not beg for bread. The Lord orders our steps. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So what do we have to do? If you look at all these people, they were not looking for a miracle. So what do you do when things are not working out the way you want them to work out? You're not too happy with your life as it is now. Number one, delight in the Lord and serve him with all your heart. Moses was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He was not looking for a miracle. Ruth was taking care of his mother-in-law, just working wholeheartedly. This woman by the well was just going to fetch water, probably for her live-in husband or boyfriend. They were not looking for what they needed. Delight yourself in the Lord. Don't be too desperate looking for things to happen. Desperation is a sign of lack of faith. That's why the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Don't be anxious for anything. Anxiety, sitting on tenterhooks. Oh, this thing must happen this year. If it doesn't happen this year, it must happen this year. If it doesn't happen this year, then God is not God. Who told you? God has been there all the time. You just came last week and you are going to determine the existence of God. Don't be anxious. Don't be desperate. Some of you want to marry this year. Don't be anxious. Don't be desperate. Don't be tracking people too closely. Close marking. Hey, if I don't get him, hey, I'll miss my turn. Just take it easy. The best gifts of God are the ones he gives us when we are not looking. That's one, then you can say, this is truly the doing of the Lord. Because God knows your address. He's not forgotten about you. And he's able to bring the right person your way. You need to prosper, but don't be desperate for money. I need to make it. I have to make it. You know, people get too desperate for money and they become crooks and liars and cheats. Take it easy. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. It doesn't mean when you're taking a step, you say, God, order my step. Where should I put it? Okay, this one too. Where should I put it? No. God says, even when you are walking and you think you are just walking, he's the one ordering your steps. You don't need to think about it. You just trust him that he's ordering your steps. And as you move in and out, he's guiding you. He's bringing you into places you never dreamt you ever go to. He'll bring you into contact with people that normally you shouldn't have met. One day you just go to visit a friend, and then the person you are looking for has also visited a friend. You didn't arrange it. You didn't set it up. It is God's divine appointment. Don't be anxious. Don't be desperate. Trust him. Be at peace. Don't fret yourself. Be at peace. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. If you read the beginning of the psalm, it talks about fret not, fret not. Don't be anxious. Delight in the Lord and serve him with all your heart. Trust in God's faithfulness and expect him to order your steps. He's a faithful God. The psalmist says, I've been old and I've been young and I'm old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging for bread. Trust God. He's faithful. He will not abandon you. He will not write you off. He's able to give you what you were not looking for. When things go wrong, allow God to manifest his sovereign purposes through you. He says, when we fall, we'll rise again. I like that. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. There are scientists who have made mistakes, and those mistakes have become major discoveries. God is able to take what you consider to be a mistake and turn it all around for his purposes. Your life is in his hand, my friend. Your life is not in your hand. Your life is in God's hands. He orders your steps. He directs your steps. And he will not leave you behind. Fourth, be open to the Holy Spirit and yield to the new directions he leads you into. What I like about Moses, the Bible says, when he saw that burning bush, he said, let me turn aside and look. Let me turn aside and look. And the Bible says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, then the Lord called him out of the fire and says, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. He showed interest. He was ready for a new direction. He was ready to move in a new way. Ruth, the same way. When she saw what God had brought her into, she became interested and followed that new direction. She didn't decide, okay, well, God has opened the door. Tomorrow I'm going to another farm. She realized, unknown to her, God has opened the door. She stayed focused in that place. The woman with at the well, when Jesus started talking to her, she started getting interested. She could have said, okay, young man, thank you. Get out from the well. Let me fetch my water and go. She stayed because she discovered there was something unusual happening to her at this time. There are many times God intervenes in our lives, but we are too busy that we don't notice what he has brought into our lives. Sometimes he brings people into our lives, but we are too busy that we move on to something else. And the miracle you are looking for has been deposited at your doorstep. Don't be too busy. Take time. Yield to the Holy Spirit. God can change your plans. He can alter your plans. He can bring things that you were not thinking about into reality. And when those new directions come, yield. Follow him. See the next step he's going to take you into. Don't be so intent on doing things your own way that when God's way comes, you don't recognize it. Because my friends, God's way is always better than your way. His paths are straighter than your paths. And in the end, the benefit is sweeter than anything you could have manufactured yourself. It is God who makes us find our destiny in the wrong places, so to speak. He makes us find our life's mission in a place we were not expecting. When I was in Tema, I was speaking about my life and about things that had happened in my life. And I wonder if certain things had not happened at a certain time, the sequence of events that have led to who I am today and what I'm doing would never have happened. But when those things were happening, I wasn't even conscious God was ordering my steps. Sometimes it's one step here, one friend there, one movement here. Sometimes it's a change of direction. Sometimes it's a change of your situation. I was telling them when my parents died, I had to move from our home because my father's relatives came to take the house and the property. Eventually, we were able to keep the house, but we lost it later on with kids. But they had to move us from the house because there was nobody. The relatives had come for the stuff. It's a time you could be bitter. But we were moved from our house. We were scattered. None of us lived two in a house. We were scattered to various relatives and other people who took care of us. But as part of the scattering, I moved to a new locality. And that new locality led me into new things. And in those new things, I found my mission in life. And in finding my mission in life, I started International Central Gospel Church. If my parents were alive, I would never have moved. And believe you me, I would never have started this church. Never. Because I know my mother. She would have said, "Hey, main son, Tobo. Tobo, I saw Chapurusu was what she has said, Ma." She couldn't foresee her son starting a church because she was traditionally minded. She would probably think I should do it that way or do it the other way, but never think I should take this bold step. But the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Even when you fall, God says, "I will lift you up." So something that was supposed to be your saddest day becomes your happiest day. It brings significance. It brings direction. You have no idea what God can do with your falling down. He's able to lift you up. But when I look back, I look at all those steps, and I can tell that God was ordering my steps. Did I know? No. Did I feel He was ordering my steps? No. Did I sense the Holy Ghost say, "Take this step. Now stay here. Don't move from this house. Go to that house." No. I was just minding my own business. But when I look back, I can now see the hand of God. It wasn't me minding my own business. It was God linking me up to all the significant things I needed to be linked up with for me to find my purpose, my mission, and my destiny in life. God is a God of serendipity. When you trust Him and you faithfully serve Him, you will find things He has hidden in places. And as you just walk in His will, you discover them. You are not praying for them, but you discover them. Your purpose in life. But the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. There are things God has planned in your future for you. He has hidden them in places, in locations, in people, in situations. And as you just trust Him and move as He leads you, and you are not anxious, but you trust Him, as you go, you discover this here, and that there, and that there, and that there. And sometimes, even when you discover they don't look great, but when you put all of it together, then you can look back and say, "The thing I was really looking for, God showed it to me, even when I wasn't aware of it." May you find the God of serendipity. And may He show you the things that you need, which you are not looking for. May you find your destiny. May you find a life mission. May you find the right people. May you find the right opportunities. May you may your steps be ordered to the right places at the right time. And may you fulfill your destiny through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.